You're listening to an audio message from Palm Vista Community Church. If you would like to check out more resources, please visit palmvista.org.
Well, welcome to Palm Vista Community Church as we transition from our Advent series that we just completed last Sunday to our Acts series that will begin next Sunday. And the Acts series is about the advance of the gospel in the midst of opposition. So the book of Acts was written by Luke, the human author, inspired by God the Holy Spirit, to the church in the first century that was on mission with the gospel under tremendous opposition. Think first century church, think Roman Empire that was pagan, think Jewish world that was against the Christians because they did not receive Jesus as Messiah. So you've got this small group of Christians that God is sending on mission with the gospel, and he writes Acts to encourage them in the midst of tremendous opposition. He fills them with the Holy Spirit the day of Pentecost, and he gives them this powerful gift to empower them to go on mission with the gospel. Well, one of the main things that God does in the church right at the very beginning of Acts is he tells them, gather and pray. And the reason he says that is A, they need that power, but B, he is their father, as Gary mentioned. And C, prayer is the life breath. It's the air we breathe. Prayer is one of the ways we're defined as the church. Jesus called the church a house of prayer. Do you know that? We as his church are defined by prayer. We are a house of prayer. In fact, that's the title of the message this morning. And so what I felt from the Lord as I was praying for you guys, all right? We just finished Advent. We're about to start Acts. It's going to take us all the way through the summer. It's going to be exciting. Can't wait to get into Acts. I just felt like the Lord was saying, you're a house of prayer. Teach the church about prayer. Now, I know you guys all pray, right? I pray. And you may have ways of praying that work very well for you. Keep doing it. But I don't know if you're like me. When I wake up in the morning, and the older I'm getting, the earlier I'm waking up. Tim, I'm almost waking up as early as you do, but I'm not as old as you are, okay? So, but when I wake up in the morning and I stumble down to my desk and I sit down and I think, what am I going to pray? Now, oftentimes what I pray, believe it or not, I pray for you guys. Your faces will pop up before me. I know some of you are wrestling with illnesses. I know some of you are wrestling with things. I told the church, I was with your brother yesterday, right? So this morning, I just immediately prayed for Richard. But then beyond that, what do I pray? What do I pray? I want to invite you to consider this, that you would use the Bible as a prayer book. And specifically, the Psalms as a prayer book. Now, they were written as really worshipful songs to God, but they were written as a prayer. The Psalms are God's prayer book. So here's my desire. Here's, I think, God's burden for us this morning, that we would be a house of prayer and that we would use the Psalms to pray. So I'd like to teach you how to do that. For some of you, it's a refresher course. For others of you, it may be brand new. But see, every day there's a psalm for you to pray. It's the psalm of the day. Actually, there are 5 psalms each day. So what do you think the psalm of the day is for today? Psalm what? Psalm 5. Actually, if you don't want to pray Psalm 5, you can add 30 to that. You can pray Psalm 35. Add 30 to that and pray Psalm 65. Add 30 to that and pray Psalm 95. Add 30 to that. I rehearsed this, all right? I know what the next one is. Psalm 125. So there's actually 5 psalms. So when you stumble to your desk and you say, what am I going to pray? After you pray for the thing you've been worrying about or whatever dream you had, what can I pray? Turn to the psalm of that day. Tomorrow it's Psalm 6, Psalm 36, Psalm 66, Psalm 96, Psalm 126. The psalm of the day. It's God's prayer book. Okay? So, let us learn how to pray by looking at Psalm 10 this morning. All right, so turn there, Psalm 10. So hopefully I can teach you how to pray this psalm. And I'm going to start by reading it. And I'm going to read it dramatically, all right? Because when you read a psalm, you got to be thinking about who wrote this psalm and what was he thinking when he wrote it, all right? So we're going to get to that in a moment, not yet, but I'm just going to read the psalm to you as if someone were writing it and writing it passionately because they're going through something, all right? So Psalm 10. Why, O Lord, do you stand far away? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? Does that shock you that the psalmist starts off by questioning God? He's got a little attitude going here, doesn't he? The psalms are real. Real people praying to a real God. And he doesn't mind it when you ask him a question, even if it's with a raised voice. Verse 2. In arrogance, the wicked hotly pursue the poor. You can see the problem here. Let them be caught in the schemes that they have devised, for the wicked boasts of the desires of his soul, and the one greedy for gain curses and renounces the Lord. In the pride of his face, the wicked does not seek him, that is to say, God. All his thoughts are, there is no God. His ways prosper at all times. Your judgments are on high out of his sight. As for all his foes, he puffs at them. He says in his heart, I shall not be moved throughout all generations. I shall not meet adversity. His mouth is filled with cursing and deceit and oppression. The psalmist is describing the situation he's living in. Sound familiar? Under his tongue are mischief and iniquity. He sits in ambush in the villages. In hiding places, he murders the innocent. His eyes stealthily watch for the helpless. He lurks in ambush like a lion in his thicket. He lurks that he may seize the poor. He seizes the poor when he draws him into his net. The helpless are crushed, sink down, and fall by his might. He says in his heart, this is the proud wicked, he says in his heart, God has forgotten. I think we can all relate to the temptation to think that, can't we? He has hidden his face. He will never see it. That's what the wicked said. God's forgotten. He's hidden his face. He will never see it. God's just this old grandfather who's just shuffling along the universe, mumbling to himself. He doesn't really know what's going on. Now the psalmist cries out, verse 12, Arise, O Lord. O God, lift up your hand. Forget not the afflicted. Why does the wicked renounce God and say in his heart, You will not call to account? But you do see, for you note mischief and vexation, that you may take it into your hands. To you the helpless commits himself. You have been the helper of the fatherless. Break the arm of the wicked and evildoer. Call his wickedness to account till you find none. There's his request. And now his praise. The Lord is king forever and ever. The nations perish from his land. O Lord, you hear the desire of the afflicted. You will strengthen their heart. You will incline your ear to do justice to the fatherless and the oppressed, so that man who is of the earth may strike terror no more. Amen. Isn't that your prayer? That man who is of the earth may strike terror no more. O God, bring peace. Now, if you're going to pray this psalm, you've got to be aware of three voices. You need to hear three voices, all right? It's okay to hear voices, all right? They're not just in your head. I'm telling you about these three voices. You ready? All right, so the first voice that you're going to hear when you're praying a psalm up on the screen, the very first voice you're going to hear is the voice of the original author. That was nice. Who's the author of this psalm? Well, if you get a good study Bible, you'll learn that most likely this psalm was written by a king named David. Actually, Psalm 10 goes with Psalm 9. It's a psalm of lament. There's a problem in Israel. And this problem is both without, there are heathen nations that are coming against Israel. And there's a problem within. There's wicked Israelites. You can go back to the last screen there, actually. Tyler, thank you. The second voice is the voice of the modern reader. That's your voice. That's my voice. What we're going to learn today is how to map our experience onto this psalm so that we hear our own voice crying out to God. You're going to fill in the blanks of what's happening in your world using this psalm. That's why there's five psalms of the day. You might be skipping to different ones, but you're going to find one where your heart says, yes, that is my situation. Let me tell you, God, what's happening. Who's renouncing you in my world, in my life? And then the third voice, this is the most important voice, is the voice of the risen Lord Jesus. Every psalm points to Jesus. Jesus is the one who answers the cry of the psalmist. Jesus is the one who fulfills all of these psalms. They all point to Jesus, okay? So three voices that we're going to identify. Point number one, voice of the author. Who is the author in this psalm? As I mentioned to you, I believe it's King David. He's probably writing this around 1000 BC. He is king over Israel. There's problems outside the gates. There are heathen nations that want to wipe them out. Nothing has changed, right, 3,000 years later? And there's problems within Israel. There are wicked Israelites that are taking advantage of their brothers and their sisters. Maybe they're ripping them off financially. Maybe they're even executing vengeance or anger upon them. There's problems in Israel. So David asked God three things. And these are three things that we often ask God when we're going through life, trying to advance the gospel, trying to live out the Christian life. We're having difficulties in our marriage, in our parenting, in our work, in our church, in our homes, in our neighborhoods, whatever. We often ask God these three questions. Question number one on the screen, God, where are you? It's okay to ask God where he is. Look at verse one. This is what he's saying. Why, O Lord, do you stand far away? Lord, where are you? There's trouble here. You're standing far away. I don't see you. Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? It's okay to ask God that question. Asking God that question actually exhibits faith, not unbelief. Not to ask God that question and get embittered in your heart is unbelief. Being honest with God and asking him that question is actually faith. It's faith. Let me encourage you to do that. The second question that David asked is, God, do you know my situation? God, do you know my situation? Listen, theologically, we know that God knows our situation, right? But isn't it sort of cathartic to share with God our situation, right? And he knows it, but guess what? He wants you to share it. Because you know what I found? When I share my situation, it tells me a lot about how I'm interpreting my situation. So what does David do from verse 2 all the way down to verse 12? He shares with God the situation. And here's the main deal that's happening in this situation. The wicked are abusing the righteous. The wicked are taking advantage of the weak. And they're saying this, there is no God, he does not see, and he's not doing a darn thing about it. I'm getting away with it. Right? All of us hate that, don't we? This injustice. And so he's describing to God, so what's the deal in your life? What's the thing in your life that you feel like, Lord, this isn't right? Describe it to the Lord. I journal heavily. I journal. I pray with my eyes open, tapping my keys on my computer. That's how I listen. That's how I engage. You probably have heard me. It's probably annoyed you. When I'm listening to a sermon, I am smashing my keys on my iPad here because that's how I engage. When someone's talking, I'm engaging with them, right? That's how I pray with my eyes open, typing, okay? But that's prayer. I'm describing to God my situation. That's a good thing. That's what David does here. And then the third question that he asks God is, God, will you please help me? This is verses 12 to 15. So what he asks in verses 12 to 15 is this, God, would you break the arm of the wicked? What that means is take away their ability of being wicked. Break their arm so that they can't execute this wickedness. So he's praying to God. He's saying, God, where are you? God, do you know my situation? God, will you help me? That's a good thing. God isn't lost, okay? But he wants to hear you say, where are you? If that's what you think, be honest with God. And God knows your situation, but describe it to him. And then ask him for help. Oh, God loves it when you ask him for help. That's faith. That's faith. Ask him for help. He will help you. He will help you. And then at the end, what does David say in verses, the last four verses, 15 to 18? He praises God. He says, you are the king forever. So here's the deal. In the first voice of this psalm, you have the author, King David, basically saying this: God, I am tempted to think that you have forgotten us. I am tempted to think that you're not going to call the wicked into account. They are getting away literally with murder. Where are you? And God responds, I'm right here. I'm going to deal with it in due season. And David says, thank you. So that's voice number one. Second voice, very important voice. Not the most important voice, but very important voice is the voice of the modern reader. That's your voice. That's my voice. That's where we map our situations onto this psalm. And we ask God, where are you? And we ask God, do you not see what the wicked is doing? Look, I don't know where you're at when it comes to national and international issues and things. But a lot of people can get really freaked out about what's happening in the world today. Instead of complaining, instead of reacting, I think it's okay to cry out to God and say, God, do you not see the injustice that's happening here? God, I mean, I've done this recently with North Korea and just crying out, like, God, I've been reading about the Christians in North Korea and how they're treated, and I'm just grieving. So instead of letting it make me sort of crazy or depress me, I launch into God in prayer, and I describe to God the situation, like he knows it already, and I say to him, where are you? But I'm also saying, I know you're there, but where are you? How can they get away with this? And then I'm saying, God, I trust you. And I cry out, and that pleases God. I don't understand exactly how it all works. I don't understand why the evil is still there. I know God is right and good and just, but it's the prayer. It's the prayer that he loves. It's the air we breathe. See, now, taking it from North Korea to Miami Lakes, when evil or things are happening to me that I don't like and I'm suffering, whether it's a sickness, whether it's a financial reversal, whether it's a relational problem and I just feel numb and I'm confused, whatever it might be, the temptation is what the wicked are saying here. God doesn't see, and even if he does see, he's so old and decrepit, he can't do anything about it. Gary mentioned it in worship. He can't, he's powerless, and he doesn't really care, and I'm going to get away with this, and God's not going to do one thing about it. And in that moment, we pray to God. We say, God, we need your help, and we say, let the voice that said God is distant now cry out to God who is near. And I need to hear your voice when I'm tempted to think God is distant. I need to hear your voice. That's why we gather. Because if I'm all alone, sometimes I start really believing the voice in my head that says God is distant. And then you add to that the voice of this world that mocks God and says, why do you pray? Have you heard that? In tragedies, people say, you're in my thoughts and prayers. And people mock that. What they're saying is, God doesn't care. God can't do anything about it. They're saying Psalm 10, and I need other Christians to kindly and gently remind me, oh, he does care, and he does something about it. I love this quote from David Powelson on the screen. If you don't pray, you will get embittered and cynical. Are you embittered and cynical this morning? Lord knows there's enough in this life to embitter us and make us cynics. Is there not? It's a hard world. If you're embittered or cynical, if you're sliding that way, then I would just say lovingly, are you praying? And if you can't pray, text me. I'm praying with some guys right now, just via text. A couple of us, three guys. We're praying for each other every morning via text. I realize we can't always get together in a city like Miami with schedules that we have, but reach out. And if you can't reach out, if you know someone that's getting a little embittered and a little cynical, you notice that their posts on whatever online venue they are, a little bit embittered, a little bit cynical, or they got that look, just reach out and say, bro, can I pray for you? Can I pray for you? See, the voice of the modern reader, our voice, is crying out to God and is saying, God, I know you're here. I believe. Help my unbelief. Here's the kicker. The God to whom we pray has provided everything we need today. That's what Romans tells us. He, Jesus, Romans 8:32, who did not spare his own son. How do I know God's going to provide for me? Because he provided Jesus who died on a cross. We just finished celebrating Advent. We're Hispanic, so we celebrate it a little bit longer. If you're Anglo, this is okay to have this here because we still have three kings, right? And so when three kings is done, we'll pull down the Advent things. Is that okay with you? All right, thank you. But we celebrate Jesus coming to die for our sins on a cross. And if he did not spare his own son, he's going to hear your prayer and he knows what's going on in your life. We find our help in this last voice, the third voice, the voice of the risen Lord Jesus. Jesus Christ knows what it is to be suffering, and in the midst of his suffering, to have voices scream up to him, your God does not see you. Because when Jesus hung on the cross and died there for your sins and mine, dear Christian, he was hanging naked for 6 hours, bleeding out. Literally, he was basically asphyxiating, couldn't breathe. And people were saying to him, ha, you say you're the Son of God? You say you have God's favor? Where is God now? He's not helping you. I mean, Jesus cried out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus was forsaken on the cross so that you and I would never be forsaken, Christian. So if anybody knows what it's like to hear people scream in your ears when you're suffering, where is your God now, pal? It's Jesus. He is the end. He's the focus. This song points to Jesus on the screen. Hebrews 12:2 calls us to pray, to look to Jesus in this psalm. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Think of the shame of it. And is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So when someone says, where is your God? Will he act? Look to Jesus who's at the right hand of the Father, who was forsaken for you, and he knows your suffering. That's why he came to this earth. That's why he was born. That's why we celebrate this, because he knows what it is to suffer and to hurt and to be betrayed and to be forsaken and to be left. And that Jesus is interceding for you right now, Christian. That's true. And when I doubt it, and I doubt it often, I need to hear it from your mouth. In your mouth. I need you to pray. I need to hear you when my voice is silent. You need to remind me that it was this Jesus. I need to hear his voice when he cried out in the garden, Father, let this cup pass from me, yet not my will, but your will. He knows what it is to be tempted to that place where I say, I can't anymore, God. I need to hear Jesus' voice, as I just mentioned, cry out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? I need to hear Jesus cry out on the cross, I am thirsty. He was human. He suffered. He knows your suffering. He will help you. He is near. He's not far. He's near. He's Emmanuel, God with us. When the lies come that says that he's distant because you're in pain or you're in sickness or whatever it is, listen, he's near us. I need to hear that. I need to hear Jesus say, today you will be with me in paradise, as he said to one of those thieves. I need to hear Jesus say from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. I need to hear Jesus say, it is finished. Oh, man, that's a good one. I've never said it is finished in my entire life. I've never finished one project, okay? Corey talked about New Year's resolutions. I love that prayer, Corey. Excellent prayer from Thessalonians. And we should, every New Year's, we should have those. Right? What's the joke? New Year's resolution, right? How long before we break one of those, right? But we should still have faith. But there's one who finished it perfectly. There's one who knows your suffering, who rose from the dead and promises you a life and a body that will never suffer again. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. All right, so what's the appeal? Well, here's the appeal. God hears and God acts. God hears and God acts. We are not alone. The wicked are but a momentary flash in the pan. Literally, they're like the firecrackers that were going off and the M80s and the skyrockets right behind my house, both Christmas Eve, because we're Hispanics, after all, we do Noche Buena, and New Year's Eve, and last night. They must have had some extra. They're loud and bothersome and irritating, but they're a flash in the pan. Jesus is Lord. He executes his justice so that man may not strike terror anymore, period. You see, David's corporate cry in Psalm 10 to God communicates to us that we are not alone. When we can't work up the faith on our own, others can carry the tune while we catch our breath. Are you out of breath right now? You know, like when you're running, you just get out of breath. I'll help you sing it. And then when I'm out of breath, you help me sing it. And when we're all out of breath, Jesus sings it for us. Amen? We do this together. We mature together. We image Christ together. It's the beauty of it. So let us pray the Psalms. Let us pray together. God, where are you? Let us pray together. God, do you know our circumstances? Let us remember that the one to whom we pray and in whose name we pray, Jesus, knows our opposition and suffering. He has sympathy on us because he too suffered. He too was opposed. Tell God about it, church. Listen, when you tell God about it, I want you to think carefully, biblically. Think about the wicked. Think about why they do what they do. And what will be their ultimate fate? Clear thinking is vital at this point. Think about how you have sinned, maybe in similar ways. And then think of the wickedness of your own heart. And then think about your Savior who hung on the cross to save you. Think about what he's done. Request God's help for your hurting and discouraged soul in detailed prayers. Take your time. Take your time. Pray the Psalms. Write out your prayers. Some of you are musicians. Write songs to the Lord. Sing your prayers to the Lord. Write poems to the Lord. Journal to the Lord. I already told you, I pray. This is how I pray. You can pray with your eyes shut. You can pray kneeling. If I prayed kneeling at 4 a.m, I'd fall asleep. So I pray because I'm engaged, my mind, my heart. I'm complaining to God at times. I'm like, come on, Lord. And then I say, I'm so sorry, God. Thank you for your patience with me. I was just praying this morning. I was reading out of Job. And I was just saying, oh, God, forgive me for condemning you so that I would be right. Telling you how to run the universe. I just felt his pleasure. He's my dad. He's my father. Jesus died for my sins. I could be real to him. Take the mask off. Stop trying to impress God. Just be who you are and then let him change your heart because he's your dad. You have his favor. He loves you. Use the Psalms to pray in corporate gatherings. Whether that's whatever small group you're a part of, whatever coffee you have with someone or a meal or whatever, whatever means you use, WhatsApp, texting. I told you a couple of us are praying for each other via text. We try to do it every morning. Declare God's character in your prayers. Affirm who he is. That's how this psalm ends. This is our ongoing confession of faith. So let's pray, church, as the worship team joins me here. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, I pray that you would give us faith. Lord, I just think of my grandchildren, because I can't remember my children when they were that young, but just my grandchildren, just stumbling, bumbling, tripping, falling, laughing, crying, you know, stuff running out of their nose, just come flying at me. And what a joy they are to me. And just to hug them, just to talk to them, laugh at their silly ways, hear them, you know, feel like the world has come to an end as they wail in sorrow over something that I know is pretty silly and will be resolved in like 2 seconds, but they're really going through it. Lord, I believe you don't want us to come in with these professional prayers. We just come flying at you. The fact that we're coming at you is what you love. Whether it's with complaints or crying or depression or discouragement or elation, let's come to you with the whole spectrum of emotions. Say, Dad, here we are. Help us. Do you know what's going on, Dad? You know what happened to me at school today, Dad? At work, in my neighborhood, on the Palmetto. You love listening. You already know it, but you love it. Let us do it not out of some sort of, like it's our job, but you're our dad, and we need to hear from Dad. Lord, hear our prayers. There is a lot of evil. There's stuff going on, Lord. There's marriages that desperately need you. There's sicknesses that are ravaging the bodies of our brethren in this church. Lord, we confess that our God is greater. We believe. Lord, help our unbelief. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening. If you'd like to find out more resources or see how you can donate to this ministry, simply visit palmvista.org. And be sure to subscribe so you can stay up to date with upcoming teachings.